hiatus. We return with the new episode of Too Much Cinema. We have a lot of movies lined up for this week. We'll still start out with Kung Fu Panda.
In a land of tradition and honor, one Kung Fu master,
let's get started,
has trained five of the greatest warriors the world has ever known. But this master's biggest challenge has just arrived.
I'm coming!
Stairs.
Yeah!
Jack Black.
Go ahead, Panda. Show us what you can do.
As I said, we have got four movies in line for this episode of Too Much Cinema. The first cinema is Kung Fu Panda, which came out unfortunately only on the IMAX screens here in Hyderabad, which probably might have prevented few people to watch it. This movie has been directed by Mark Osborne and John Stevenson, two directors who were not pretty well known before. And this brings in Jack Black playing the role of a giant panda who's named Po.
This movie has got a huge star cast in terms of voice, with Jack Black, Dustin Hoffman, Angelina Jolie, Lucy Liu,
Jackie Chan,
and Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
A huge star cast.
And getting straight into the story, it talks about the giant panda Po, who wants to be a Kung Fu master, who wants to learn Kung Fu and be in the group of the quintet, the supreme Kung Fu masters in China. This is somewhere set in the 1920s, if I'm not wrong, in eastern China. First scene starts off with Po trying to get up in the Kung Fu style from his bed after having a wonderful dream of him being a Kung Fu master. And he's surprisingly the son of a goose called Mr. Ping,
who make noodles in their shop.
Exactly. So destiny, according to his father, is Po becoming another noodle maker, let's say, and having his own store. But he's called by Oogway.
He's the master of masters in Kung Fu.
More like the ultimate master. Yeah. Now, Oogway predicts that an evil snow leopard called Tai Lang, who was initially under Master Shifu, who is again under Master Oogway, will be set loose upon the people of China, and the dragon warrior is the only person who can save the people. Predictable as it may seem, Po is selected as a dragon warrior in a...
out of a chain of comical
events. Exactly. Where Po in fact wants to see who the dragon warrior is, who gets selected as a dragon warrior, and he realizes that it is him who's the dragon warrior and has to fight Tai Lung. And the movie progresses with a lot of comedy elements and a lot of surprising moves.
This movie was absolutely hilarious. I had a lot of fun watching it. It was non-stop comedy right from the first sequence where Po dreams of him being a master warrior. The movie was, though brilliant in its comic aspect, it was another Hollywood movie where the usual Hollywood dream being sold in the movie, where a nobody, actually worse than a nobody, a person who could never actually master the skill of Kung Fu, becomes the ultimate Kung Fu warrior, telling that if you really want something, you can achieve the dream kind of story. So that way, though the movie was fun, I find it like any other animation movie where you have the usual elements and the typical comedy. Though the story was in routine lines, the comedy was really good.
Well, yeah, the story, as you said, might be a little typical, but again, characters, the idea of a giant panda trying to learn Kung Fu, that really crazy. And secondly, the voice of Jack Black is like the best voice for Po. Nobody could have done a better job other than Jack Black. It was different in a way, though, you know, it was set in China. That is not something that has happened before.
Well, where would you set a movie based on Kung Fu? In China.
You can also set it in, if you see Kung Fu Hustle or, movie like Beverly Hills.
Ninja. But this is
America.
Core Kung Fu movie where he talks about
the whole philosophy
of Kung Fu and stuff.
Exactly, so that is why it's different. When previous directors tried to make fun of Kung Fu, Kung Fu warriors, they always put it in America. They always, shot it in America because it was fun. People now react to it, it's fun.
Yeah, that way this movie was not actually making comedy like what Jackie Chan does with all the fight movies, but when there was fighting, it was actually serious, and it was
exactly.
not the usual, as you said, usual rip-off of Kung Fu by the Hollywood machinery.
Exactly. That was a deliberate attempt by the directors, and Hans Zimmer, composer of the soundtrack of the movie, he went to China, he studied the people and the places there to get a feel of it, and you know, you could see that they have taken the movie seriously and the Chinese elements in it seriously. Even Chinese directors, they have commented on the movie saying they have respected the Chinese culture, and that has come out properly in the movie.
As you said, Jack Black did a great role. So did Dustin Hoffman, played the role of Shifu really well. But other roles of Tigress, played by Angelina Jolie, Mantis, played by Seth Rogen, Jackie Chan playing the monkey, and Lucy Liu playing this rattlesnake. I didn't see the credits on IMDb before actually watching the movie, and I didn't realize that these people were there in the movie until I saw the end title after the movie. That was really surprising, because these voices, any given day, played to me on TV or on in any movie, I would recognize them. Maybe I was kind of caught off by the everything else.
Awesomeness of Poe.
But this was, I felt they really either didn't need all that brilliance of their voices, or they could have gone out with a lesser cast. But anyhow, the cast sells, so it works. And
exactly.
The movie made $600 million worldwide, with $220 in US itself. So the movie has been a big hit, and another reason for the commercial success of this movie, Kung Fu Panda, being the way everyone being able to connect themselves with the title character, Po. We have seen quite a few people among our circle itself who are a little tubby and like the character, because this role, as I already said, connects with a normal person who aspires and actually does extraordinary things. So that way the movie has caught on, like few other animation movies have. Because we have seen Ratatouille. Nobody actually picked up utensils and started cooking. But people actually, with all those cool suave Kung Fu moves, actually are emulating what has been done in the movie.
Exactly. So Po is like an average giant panda. When it is given the responsibility of the dragon warrior, you are bound to see all the hilarious moves and the embarrassing ones too. And that is fun for everybody to watch, be it a kid or an adult. It's fun to watch. And you know, quickly talking a little about the dialogues in the movie, they steal the show for everybody who's watching. There are scenes in the movie that are so hilarious that you'd fall down
yeah.
laughing. And you know, to mention a few, at the end of the movie, Shifu is lying down on the floor after a fight, and Po comes to the rescue. He comes to him, he shakes him up, and he's like, in a very sad note, says, Shifu, come back. Shifu, you know, get back to life. And suddenly you see Shifu getting up and say, I'm not dead, you idiot.
Wow.
Dragon warrior. So, you know, I might not have said it properly, but, you know, you should go watch the movie. It's amazing fun.
The dialogues have been really well written. Not only after he trains his skill, but throughout. Po is this character who himself acknowledges that he is in the wrong place. He cannot be a dragon warrior. And makes fun of himself, like most people who have a disability do.
Kung Fu Panda is DreamWorks Animation Studios release. And earlier they have come out with Shrek and Madagascar. Two movies which have their own sequels, which came out and are coming out in the future. And Kung Fu Panda 2 will be coming out in the future. This will be another franchise from DreamWorks Animation Studio.
There's nothing much more to talk about Kung Fu Panda. It's out and out hilarious film, a must watch. Go watch it in IMAX if you can, or else grab the DVD when it comes out. We had a great fun watching it in the theater. So did everybody else who watched it along with us. We strongly recommend Kung Fu Panda to you. Chaitanya, how much would you give it out of 10?
I would give it an 8 on 10.
And I would give it the same rating. So go watch Kung Fu Panda.
That was awesome! Let's go again!
Next movie on review is a quick review. We plan to do quick reviews for some movies which need to be talked about but cannot really...
Don't have much in them to talk about.
The first ever movie which we are going to do in the quick review segment is going to be Funk. The same weekend we saw Kung Fu Panda, we watched, unfortunately, the new supposedly horror movie by Ram Gopal Varma, Funk. Chaitanya, what are your thoughts on it?
Ram Gopal Varma made this outrageous comment before the movie release, saying this is one of the scariest movies he has made and this is going to scare everybody in the audience. And it turned out to be a complete dud at the movies.
That was like an insult to himself. After some great movies like Ratri and Khan, which are not only straightforward thrillers, but
Booth,
also
Booth
was a decent job compared to Funk. He comes out with this sad excuse for a horror movie called Funk. It was so bad that half an hour into the movie, I was looking at my watch and every 5 minutes, I was like, when is the interval going to come?
I mean, in a way, he has dug his own grave with this movie. He has to take a definite break. He has to think of all the movies he has made. Probably go back to his style of making, you know, underworld movies with a different style. Probably.
Come on. He's gone. He's lost it all. There was Ram Gopal Varma Ki Aag. Then there was Darling. Then there was Contract. And immediately there is Funk. These movies make us question, is Ram Gopal Varma himself? Or has someone put him away and taken his place and giving us all this shit?
Exactly. Talking a little bit about the movie, supposed horror first thing, and it talks about superstition and black magic. This is something he hasn't dealt with before. Neither should he dealt with in the future also. The movie talks of a construction engineer who has got staunch unreligious beliefs and he doesn't believe in God. In his family, we have got the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter and the son. The grandmother and the mother follow religion, but following sequence of events that happen in the movie and things that happen to his daughter make him, you know, test his own confidence in his beliefs. So
the plot itself is quite lame, and Ram Gopal Varma doesn't even try to scare us in this movie, which is supposedly a horror movie. There are at most one or two places where a child might get scared, maybe. And the second half is totally drama. Yes, but the second half at least was bearable because there was some story and there was some drama going on. In the first half was totally lame. He was trying to build up in a Hitchcock-esque way, a setup, and everything went wrong.
And the background score, which is very annoying in the movie. It starts out properly, but even at very innocuous moments in the movie, he has got loud background score, which is like, you can't understand why he's employing that in the movie.
He tries to scare us with a loud bang, showing a gate in midday. And is that horror? Anyhow, what Ram Gopal Varma tries to say from this film is, you better believe in God. Do not mess with black magic. Be wary of those people who know black magic around you, because they might screw with your life.
Exactly. But, you know, final comments from me, from a guy who has made a movie like Shiva. This is not what is expected, but since, you know, keeping in mind the past run of flops he has had, he really has to take a time off and work on his new movie.
How much would you give Funk?
I would give Funk a 5 on 10.
Okay, I would give Funk a 3 on 10.
Welcome back to Too Much Cinema. This part of the episode, we have our movie vault. In this section of the episode, both of us, me and Vemana, dig out from the movie vault, or rather the movies that we have seen in the past, and suggest our audience with a movie to watch. My movie of the week is The Truman Show. It stars Jim Carrey and Laura Linney, and it's been directed by Peter Weir. It's a fun movie. Repeated viewing, I suggest, is good, because you'll understand the movie better and you'll appreciate it better. That's it. The movie came out in 1998, and go check it out on DVDs.
Tying in with the animation movies we are doing today, my recommendation would be The Iron Giant. Iron Giant is the 1998 movie directed by Brad Bird, the guy who made Incredibles. This movie is about an iron giant which comes from outer space and lands in one of the suburbs in USA. A small kid finds it and makes friends with it, and what happens is the remaining story. Amazing movie to watch. Quite incredible actually to note that the movie was made in 98, because that was before the new wave of animation movies came out with Shrek and the other Pixar movies. So I say must watch.
...700 years into the future, mankind will leave our planet, leaving Earth's cleanup in the hands of one incredible machine. His name is Wally. After all these years, he's developed one little glitch.
What?
A personality. He's extremely curious. And just a little bit lonely. But all that is about to change.
After 2 months of excruciating wait, we finally got to watch Wall-E the last weekend. This is the 9th movie by Pixar. After Ratatouille, Wall-E gives us another amazing film. Wall-E has several firsts to its name. They say it is one of the best Pixar movies, and for the first time, they expect an animation movie, that is Wall-E, to get an Oscar nomination. Let's see what happens.
The story of Wall-E is very fascinating. Most part of the story is set in somewhere in 700 or 800 years from now. And it so happens that mankind has completely polluted the planet. They set out to the outer space on their starship, and the spacecraft has all the necessary air and gravity and all the requirement that for mankind's needs to survive. And in the process, they leave something called a Wall-E. It's a robot back in Earth. The main purpose of Wall-E being to collect and to compress all the trash into cubes that are set in the form of skyscrapers, so that when mankind comes back, it's easy to dispose them of. But mankind soon realizes that it's not possible.
All the attempts they make to clean Earth fail, and they remain in space, in their spaceship Axiom, far, far away for a long time.
Exactly. So in the process, they disengage all the Wall-Es. Wall-E stands for Waste Allocation Load Lifter, Earth class, and except one robot, which is the protagonist, the Wall-E in the movie. It stays back and for 700 years. You know, we get to see a Wall-E which is not just a robot, but it attaches sentiments. It
and as they say in their trailer, it creates a glitch. It creates a personality.
Exactly.
Wall-E has been scourging Earth and cleaning up, and it has a peculiar habit of collecting human items.
7 years, yeah.
It goes back to its lair with human 7 years, and slowly develops a little humanity in it. What happens later is for you to see.
Somewhere in the movie, you get to meet very cute looking robot called Eve, or as Wall-E says in the movie, Eva, in a prolonged tone.
Eve stands for Extraterrestrial Vegetation Evaluator.
Essentially, they are sent by the Axiom to different planets to collect or to look for vegetation. And the main purpose is, once vegetation or plant life is found on a planet, they would try to come back to Earth or to that planet and start living there.
Well, that was what we would like to tell you about the plot. Nothing more. Wall-E is quite a landmark movie in animation movies, because for the first time, I believe it has taken animation movies to a new step. It is an animation movie, it's a love story, it's a science fiction film of more than anything else. Pixar has taken their game to a whole totally new level. We see such a strong plot, and they haven't let the animation take center stage. The story is the most important thing of the movie, and the main character Wall-E is so adorable. As everybody says, and I agree, Wall-E is the most lovable character, non-human character since E.T. So with such a character and such a beautiful storyline, Pixar have come out with a great movie, especially with the first 40 minutes having hardly any dialogue. You tend to expect that to be boring, because most people are not used to that silent treatment given by different authors. But Wall-E doesn't bore you anywhere. It is such impeccably written and made.
I can rave about the movie a lot, but you know, in a way, many people have complained and cribbed about the movie, saying the idea of a robot falling in love, though it is an animated movie, this is something we can neglect. That's what people say. But you know, robots falling in love, trying to hold hands, this is all a little ridiculous.
That was the selling point. First thing, Wall-E is a robot with artificial intelligence. As we have learned through all our learning from the movies of science fiction, if somebody actually gets intelligence, they might also develop emotions. That's not something new.
Yeah, but how the emotion came into being in Wall-E is not shown. Okay,
is shown. That is how. He watches Hey Dolly every night and tries to tap dance. That is the whole first 20 to 30 minutes is...
Exactly.
The setting up of the emotion.
I'm willing to pardon the scriptwriters saying that for 700 years, a robot has been watching the same clip over and over and over again, and suddenly from a stupid robot made out of metal to being an intelligent robot. The transformation, thanks to just a single video, it's too far-fetched.
It's not a single video. He has been collecting every human
It doesn't even know what they are. It doesn't know what a shoe is, what a plant is.
It knows what a plant is. That is why it has treasured it so well.
It is treasuring everything that is alien to it, except, you know, the cubes it is making out of scrap.
It scourges those cubes for precious things which are so-called connected with humanity, which are resemblant of anything sentient. So anything which is beyond the usual scrap, it takes home, it takes back home, tries to understand it. It has a pet, for God's sake, so you have to understand it has evolved.
Fair enough. That is what the director and the writers wanted to understand.
And they sold it to me pretty well.
True. The computer graphics, you know, involved in the movie are breathtaking. They're really good. Especially the idea of holographs being used in the movie. When the movie or when the story takes you to the Axiom, the starship, everything is moving. Everything is in 3D. It's holographic. And that is something of a revelation in animation movies.
This is also the first time Pixar has ever used live action bits in their movies. Wall-E had hoardings of By and Large and all the announcement made by and Large. They had a real person, the CEO of By and Large, the corporation which effectively owns almost everything on the planet. Fred Willard plays the role, and he's the only human shown for 2 hours in actual human form. The humans we see on Axiom are quite different because of the loss of bone mass, because whatever happens.
And no exercise apparently.
And how their lives are transformed. The beautiful thing about the movie is when Wally accidentally knocks over two humans of 2800 from their mobile seats, and they begin to realize that there is so much beyond their knowing in the small spaceship itself. Let's talk about the innumerable movie references made in the movie. We love the 2001 Space Odyssey music bard. Sigourney Weaver was the mothership's voice. Sigourney Weaver from the famous movie Alien. And there are lots of Apple references, because basically Steve Jobs is a part of Pixar and owns Apple. Eva being in the white pearly thing like iPods. Then the startup music when Wally enters his home being of the Mac, this thing. And the most important thing, the voice of Otto, the autopilot on Axiom, being the Macintalk, which was actually the first application which where you type in things and it speaks out for you. So lots of references there.
And Pixar even used references of their own movies from the past. You know, one that I could clearly cite is the use of the scooter of Skinner from the movie Ratatouille. It was used as a scrape in Wall-E. So lots of references, which is fun.
And didn't the initial 15-20 minutes of Wall-E moving alone in that city remind you of movies like Omega Man, or which was more recently made into I Am Legend? So lots of references there, lots of odes to science fiction films. And in future, this not only be remembered as a great animation movie, but one of the important science fiction movies, because it has a strong underlying message. It's kind of quite relevant in this world of materialism and wastefulness by humans too. And there has been quite an uproar of the so-called philosophy delivered by this movie.
It's a groundbreaking product. Wall-E is good. It's a very good movie. But
Wall-E is amazing.
The impact it will have, it will definitely won't have any impact as any other movie.
It's not about the impact. It's about what they speak. Disney, Pixar is owned by Disney. Disney is coming out with a movie with such a dark and cynical outlook towards human life. That's totally un-Disney.
It's not dark.
Look at what it does.
You mentioned it earlier. At the beginning of the review, you said it yourself that this movie shows you more of the love story between Eva and Wally.
No, that's what I said. It has three aspects to it. The routine animation, the comedy and all aspects, the beautiful love story like any of those classic love stories, and a great science fiction. The science fiction references, as we talked about the 2001 Space Odyssey, especially when they're traveling through space. Then, like I Am Legend, when he's walking through the streets. So, this is quite a remarkable movie, bringing three different genres of movies together and holding them tight and delivering them so well. I guess we absolutely At least I absolutely love the movie.
Do you call this the best movie Pixar has ever come out with in the 9 films?
Yes, definitely better. Slightly better than Toy Story or Toy Story 2. But yes, definitely the best movie Pixar has ever made. And for me, the best animation movie ever, along with Shrek. And I give this movie a 10 on 10, something I've seldom done. How much do you give Chaitanya?
I would give it an 8 again.
So, do you think it is on the same level as Kung Fu Panda?
Both fall under the genre of animation, but they come in different
no,
films.
As movies, are they on the same level?
That's a weird question to ask, because Kung Fu Panda was hilarious. It was entertainment, pure entertainment. And Wall-E was the same. There was... Okay, fine. If you have to straightforwardly answer your question, yes.
Okay. Chaitanya seems to be in a different world right now. That was Wall-E. We strongly recommend to watch. Again, like Kung Fu Panda, must watch. One of the best things Pixar has come up, as they always do.
समझोगे शायद मैं पागल हूँ दिल क्या कहता है मेरा क्या मैं बताऊँ तुम ये समझोगे शायद मैं पागल हूँ दिल करता है टीवी टावर पे मैं चढ़ जाऊँ चिल्ला चिल्ला के मैं ये सबसे कह दूँ है ये वक्त का इशारा हर लम्हा पुकारा यूं ही देखता है क्या तू जिंदगी मिलेगी ना दोबारा
वी नेक्स्ट मूव ऑन टू रिव्यू अनदर मूवी कॉल्ड रॉक ऑन दिस इज Might be the first time we are reviewing a movie in a full-fledged manner. The previous time Khuda Ke Liye was a Pakistani, but this is the first time we are doing a mainstream commercial movie, and there are quite strong reasons for it.
Rock On, most of the people in the country have heard a lot about it, have heard the songs and have loved it, and the cast is pretty popular, I can say. It talks of a rock band consisting of 4 members. One is Farhan Akhtar, who plays the lead vocalist. One is Arjun Rampal, the macho man of Bollywood who plays the guitarist. One is Purab Kohli, who is on the drums. And Purab Kohli, we all know, is or was a Channel V VJ. And the other guy is Luke Kenny, who is
famous for his Luke Kenny's After Hours.
After Hours
on
Channel
V
again. So this is the cast, basic cast of Rock On. It talks of a rock band which is struggling to move on with their lives, to keep their past behind them. And how they come together after disbanding in the past and play one last time. So.
This movie is quite different, and the basic reason we picked to review it is because for the first time Bollywood is making a mainstream movie about a small segment of population who enjoy and want to make music, and especially in this rock segment, not a guy who wants to become a singer, take part in Indian Idol and start a give out a pop album. Neither a guy who wants to learn an instrument and do classical music, but one very specific genre of one specific demographic of people who love rock.
Yeah, it's a typical or rather non-typical multiplex movie. You know, we might say it's for a niche audience, but the niche audience seems to be growing every single day. So it has you know, it has got its takers in the nation. And
especially with the music capturing the audiences beforehand, they like the new music. And the movie, I say, it's not quite differently or uniquely made. So it has become a big hit and people are liking it. It is directed by Abhishek Kapoor, and Farhan Akhtar makes his debut along with Prachi Desai. Prachi Desai was in several Ekta Kapoor serials. And Farhan Akhtar, I was surprised by the way he assumed such a big mantle. He played the lead role and he did it well. And he sang all his songs.
Yeah, he sang like 5 songs out of the 8 on the album. And, you know, even after coming out of the movie, even after you telling me that this was directed by another guy, I still thought this was a Farhan Akhtar movie. I still thought, you know, he had a major part to play in the direction of this movie.
What I hear, and we are not sure how much of it is true, but Abhishek Kapoor came up with a proper script to Farhan Akhtar, and Farhan Akhtar only then jumped on board. Maybe they might have made some changes on the script.
Probably.
But it was Abhishek Kapoor's baby totally. Yes, I can understand your point, because there are lots of similarities to Farhan Akhtar's first film, Dil Chahta Hai, from this, because both talk about the male bonding aspect. Like Dil Chahta Hai, here there are four friends who grow apart due to a couple of friends' ego clashes.
Exactly.
And again, something which they like brings them together. So very similar to Dil Chahta Hai. The underlying aspect there being love, here being their music.
Take all the different elements and put them separately, divide them. You have a rock band which everybody is fascinated
which
by.
Which calls
Indians,
itself Magic.
Yeah,
quite
magic.
A lame name for a rock band, but still it works
exactly.
For the masses.
People love a rock band, a quartet of four guys singing. And the kind of music they're making, that is wonderful. People will love it. And cast that is being used in the movie. Farhan Akhtar, wonderful job. We have all seen his previous movies. Arjun Rampal was a disappointment in his previous movies, but
I thought he stepped up, and somehow for me he gave a good performance.
Exactly, he fit in his shoes very well. Pulab Kohli was the comedy element in the movie, and he did a very good job.
He should have been given a bigger role, because I have seen him in a couple of movies, can't remember where, but he's got the talent. Could have had a better role to.
Well, he lived up to his role, which is just being the nice, happy guy who's smiling always and making people in the audience laugh. He has done that.
He was the comic, sole comic relief in the movie, as per to say.
Exactly. And Luke Kenny, not many people are aware of him, but he has done a creditable job.
He has quite a focal role in the movie.
Exactly. So, in a way, you could figure out the way we are talking. It's more the script and the story and how the actor just lived up to it.
The actresses, Prachi Desai, who plays Farhan Akhtar's wife, and the woman who plays Debbie, that is Arjun Rampal's wife, also did a good job. So, what do you think about the other aspects of the movie, Chetan?
Quickly talking a little about the screenplay of the movie. It was different. It was not the typical Bollywood treatment of any movie. It was not like, if you had a flashback, you would go to the flashback, show the whole flashback and come back. You will not suffer any amnesia in that case. But in this case, it was different. It was showing two characters and how they experienced something in the past, and showing the same two characters.
Something much more like Dil Chahta Hai.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
That is again a similarity there.
And a little more of the cinematography. It was good. The locations, it was the movie was shot. Some sequences took you to Irani cafes. Some took you to modern high lifestyle
homes,
condos in Mumbai. So essentially, it was a good mix of Dil Chahta Hai and Jen Carbides.
Essentially, Rock On is a well-made movie. We enjoyed it. It has captured the people's imagination, showing us the specific demographic and their life and what they go through to create music and make a living out of such a lifestyle.
Probably some bands in India might relate to it. Who knows? So that is something. If you are part of a rock band, then you go watch the movie. You might enjoy it.
Though
and
some people have complained, what's the rock band without a bassist? But
exactly.
It has its flaws, but it is a well-made movie. It's not like we're going to remember it 10 years down the line.
Exactly.
But it is worth the watch.
Some of the references that the movie made, a couple of them I can remember was one of the songs had an initial riff of Purple Haze from Jimi Hendrix. And second was the final look that Arjun Rampal had in the movie. It's an exact copy of Frank Zappa's look. And this is taking nothing away from the movie. It was really good. Just two references that I could think of.
And their conversations too, where they talk about Led Zeppelin and other bands.
Yeah.
So overall, how much would you rate it, Chetanya?
I would give it a 7 out of 10, which means good.
Same rating from me. It's quite a good movie. Catch it at the nearest multiplex.
Before we end this episode of Too Much Cinema, where we have reviewed four movies, we come to the final segment of this episode. It's the poll of the week.
This is the fourth poll of the week. In this episode, we ask you, what do you think about animation movies? A. My favorite genre. B. They are only for kids. C. They are as good as live action films. D. They are boring and not worth commenting. Do log on to tumacinema.wordpress.com. Vote for your option. The other polls are open too. And you can let us know what you think of this episode and all the four movies we have reviewed today. Quite an episode with Kung Fu Panda, Funk, Wally, and Rock On.
To all the listeners out there, please let us know your suggestions through a text mail at toomuchcinema@gmail.com or even a voicemail if you have the patience. Thank you for listening.
We hope to be back sooner this time, and see you next week.